This week on From the Vault, we're looking specifically at one program, Accidents Will Happen, a documentary about the disaster at Three Mile Island in 1979, produced by Alan Snitow and Eileen Alfandary. We're concentrated on this program because of the recent arguments posed for the building of more nuclear power plants and some people's assertions that nuclear energy is the cleanest and safest energy available. This argument is growing steam, especially now with the global warming concerns brought to the forefront of public debate recently with the release of Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth film. Accidents Will Happen, produced by Alan Snitow and Eileen Alfandary in 1979 and first broadcast on Pacifica's KPFA in Berkeley.
Wednesday, March 28th, 4 a.m. at the Three Mile Island nuclear reactor. The Susquehanna River flowed past Three Mile Island and the dairy farms nearby. 12 miles away in Pennsylvania's capital, Harrisburg, most of the city slept peacefully. Suddenly, something went wrong. All the details aren't in yet, but it appears a pump in the Three Mile Island reactor's cooling system broke down. And the problems didn't end there. What followed was to become the country's worst commercial reactor accident in history.
Came at about 7 a.m. Metropolitan Edison, the operator of the reactor, put a phone call through to state officials. Patsy McCormick and Governor Richard Thornburgh's office issued a public statement.
There was, early this morning, a malfunction at it's called Three Mile Island nuclear plant, which is 11 miles from Harrisburg. Everything now is under control. There is no danger to public health.
In spite of the reassurance, a pump had broken down and some radioactive steam had escaped from the reactor. Officials at the plant called a general emergency. Already, communications were confused as Frank Ingram of the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington said he didn't know what was meant by general emergency. The utility said it meant the billion-dollar power plant was sealed off from the outside world. In the coming days, there were to be many more conflicting statements from officials of Metropolitan Edison and the NRC.
First reports from Metropolitan Edison were that the accident was not serious. MedEd said that some workers might have been contaminated, but no significant radiation leaked outside the reactor. But already, outside experts like nuclear engineer Dale Breidenbaugh were questioning the utility's story.
Oh, it sounds like a very serious accident. But it sounds like they've got some severe fuel damage, and certainly they have a leak in the primary system.
Increased amounts of radiation are being measured in areas as far as 10 miles away, which is where the largest community in the area, Harrisburg, is located.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission said radiation levels inside the plant's reactor building were 1,000 times normal. Metropolitan Edison spokesperson George Trofer disagreed, saying the levels were only 10 times normal. The NRC was right.
All across the country, the wire services were quoting an NRC statement that radiation was beaming through the 4-foot-thick walls of the power plant. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor William Scranton said steam containing radiation was released for 2 hours to relieve a potentially dangerous pressure buildup in the reactor. The radiation releases continued throughout the night and into the next day. Radiation was detected as far as 16 miles from the plant. Don Curry of the utility's public relations staff was besieged by the press and hard put to defend the company's technology.
We have absolutely no question about the safety of nuclear plants as a result of this mishap. We do not refer to it as a nuclear accident because it was not that. All these systems went into operation as they should have. We think the record of the nuclear industry stands for itself.
How can you say it's not an accident when radiation is being detected as far away as 16 miles?
Well, that doesn't constitute an accident. The accident did not occur in the nuclear reactor. The accident did not occur inside the reactor in the slightest. It was a feed pump connected to the turbine outside of the reactor area. Now, that was a failure of a piece of machinery, and therefore it was an accident it wasn't an accident, it was just a failure of a piece of machinery. There's no relationship between that and what is thought of as a nuclear accident.
The governor and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission joined the utility in saying the levels of radiation were low. But in Harrisburg, 12 miles from the plant, people were not reassured.
The reaction here in Harrisburg is one of alarm and one of concern.
Harrisburg reporter Bob Matheson.
In a late news conference, state officials say that the situation at the power plant now appears more complex than originally thought. There was an additional release of radiation around midday today, and although officials still say there's no danger to the public, of course, many people in the area, indeed those living in the very shadow of the nuclear plant, are feeling some uneasiness and concern over developments there.
Not only were the radiation releases increasing, there was also fear that the accident might lead to a meltdown of the reactor's core. What nuclear engineer Dale Breidenbaugh said was the worst possible accident at a nuclear reactor.
There is a possibility that it would melt into a glob and melt its way right through the reactor vessel that's containing it and through the building that's housing it and start to melt its way down through the earth. And the idea that there would be no way to stop it once it began.
If that meltdown process actually gets underway and it melts down into the earth, is it just contained there, or what happens?
We don't really know exactly what might happen. A number of people have speculated on how such an event might go, but the most highly likely thing that would happen is that if it did melt through the building and into the earth, that this molten material would eventually contact groundwater, and then there would be a great deal of steam generated, and that would channel its way up through the ground and carry with it radioactive material that would be released into the atmosphere.
Although no one was sure what the results of a meltdown would be, Robert Pollard of the Union of Concerned Scientists outlined the terrifying possibilities.
You're talking in the maximum case that's been analyzed so far. Tens of thousands of deaths, hundreds of thousands of cancers, contamination of 3,000 square miles of land, property damage up to $14 billion.
For many anti-nuclear activists, the crisis at Three Mile Island was the realization of their fears and of their repeated warnings.
New reports indicated that some fuel elements in the reactor core had been damaged, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission itself said that that was the only explanation for the intense radiation inside the reactor containment building. Still, the government and the utility continued to say that the levels of radiation were safe. However, transcripts of a private Nuclear Regulatory Commission meeting show that NRC Chair Joseph Hendry didn't really believe the calming statements coming out of the commission. He said privately of the problems facing him and Pennsylvania Governor Thornburg, "We are operating almost totally in the blind. His information is ambiguous, mine is non-existent, and I don't know. It's like a couple of blind men staggering around making decisions." Later that evening, Governor Thornburg declared on the advice of the NRC that no evacuation was necessary. Radiation health specialist Dr. John Goffman expressed shock at the governor's remarks.
I listened to the governor, and I'm amazed at the incompetence of his information. and presentation. The word low level is being used purposely to deceive the public and to attempt to allay their fears. It means nothing because there is no radiation that is safe.
Early Friday morning, people all across the country awoke to the news. A turn for the worse at Three Mile Island, an uncontrolled release of radiation. Harrisburg reporter Matheson.
The complexion changed at the second accident that occurred about 6:30 this morning. And from then on, the sense that the damn thing was out of control began to gather. And by this afternoon, it became clear that the situation was far from under control, that the situation was actually much worse than it was on Wednesday, that this thing has compounded itself. We just got an earlier report. I just called up Civil Defense a little while ago, and they understand, and this has not been confirmed, that the temperature in the core itself is rising again to the levels, the original hot levels, and that is another bad sign.
Although Metropolitan Edison denied the situation at Three Mile Island was out of control, the reaction from Governor Thornburgh was swift.
Based on advice of the chairman of the NRC and in the interests of taking every precaution, we've advised those who may be particularly susceptible to the effects of radiation, that is, pregnant women and preschool-aged children, to leave the area within a 5-mile radius of the Three Mile Island facility until further notice. We also ordered the closing of any schools within this area.
People started to leave by the thousands. Local radio and television stations were besieged with calls from people who felt they couldn't trust either the government or MedEd. Jeff Bitzer of radio station WHP said the press was aware of its sensitive role.
People here are as alarmed as they can possibly be at this point. And in dispensing information, you know, you carry a great deal of responsibility for that. It's a fairly heady thing to know that a whole neighborhood can clean out and will on a misplaced modifier.
In the moment of crisis, environmental groups like Chauncey Kepford's were also swamped with calls from frightened residents desperate for information.
I can't come to any other conclusion than that early Wednesday, that reactor had a loss of coolant accident. And it would seem to me that the core may very well be in the process of melting right now. We were suggesting that people should simply prepare themselves to stay inside. To get... excuse me. How that has changed a bit, that we are just buying time and doing nothing. And I'm simply terrified.
You are listening to Accidents Will Happen, an award-winning documentary produced by Alan Snitow and Eileen Alfandary in 1979. This is From the Vault, the Pacifica Radio Archive's weekly program that brings history out of the vault and onto the radio. And now back to Accidents Will Happen.
As Friday afternoon wore on, the problems at Three Mile Island became more serious, with a development that had never been foreseen. A hydrogen gas bubble had formed above the reactor core. If the bubble grew any larger, it could displace the crucial cooling water circulating around the radioactive fuel rods. The hydrogen could also become explosive. Even the NRC's Edson Case acknowledged publicly for the first time the possibility of a meltdown.
Now the meltdown possibility, where does that come in? Without getting into the question of whether it's highly likely or not, but just,
well,
where is that, where is the...
If you have an explosion in a pressure vessel, I don't think I have to paint any picture as to how the meltdown possibility arises
meltdown
from that.
Would result from that.
Well, you got the possibility of losing the water, and yeah.
Several top NRC staff were privately calling for an evacuation. Transcripts of an NRC meeting show that Systems Safety Director Mattson was one of them.
I'm not sure why we're not moving people, said Mattson. Got to say it, I don't know what we're protecting at this point.
Meanwhile, in public, NRC Chair Joseph Hendry was trying to deal with an aggressive press.
Well, evacuation is always a fairly traumatic experience, and there are some costs and the burdens and possibilities of accident that have to be considered there and balanced in the overall assessment. We wouldn't necessarily at all wait until there was a demonstrated disaster in hand to strongly recommend a recommendation. If we felt at any point that it would be a prudent precautionary measure, why, we'll recommend a partial or a full evacuation.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm frightened, telling you the truth.
Are you going to leave?
No, I got no other place to go. I'm a widower.
Did you feel that the utility company and the government are doing a good job in coping with this?
No, I don't. I think they're keeping a lot away from us.
The concern that you're trying to meet in evacuation is that there is the possibility of a significant release from the plant, that gaseous release. That release, of course, then moves downwind, would move downwind, and people who are upwind are in good shape, and people who are downwind would be better off to be out of it.
But many people were no longer waiting on the NRC. The exodus grew, 50,000, 250,000 people fleeing the Harrisburg area. Evacuation planning switched into high gear with the word that risky steps might be necessary to deal with the reactor bubble.
Public notice. The York County Civil Defense, in cooperation with Fairview Township, has been instructed to prepare a procedure to follow if conditions at Three Mile Island Nuclear Generating Plant should increase the danger to the public. In the event an evacuation would be necessary resulting from these conditions, we direct you to adhere to the following information. The following control point has been designated and will be manned throughout the emergency. Emergency command post will be the Fairview Township building. Then they list three numbers that would be used to contact them. We urge you to monitor WSBA Radio 910 AM, which is the designated station for York County. The notice continues. There will be centers designated for your particular area. In the event we must evacuate Fairview Township, the sirens will be sounded continuously for 3 to 5 minutes. The following shelter areas have been designated. People residing east of Interstate 83 between the Susquehanna River and the expressway should go to the Brogue area. Go south on I-83 to PA Route 74 south to Brogue. People residing west of I-83 should go south on I-83 and exit on Route 30 west to PA Route 116 to Spring Grove. Should the evacuation be necessary, please take the following actions. A. Take toilet articles, bedding, and clothing. B. Medication and prescriptions. C. Keep your car's gas tank full. D. Please leave when requested and secure your home. In large letters, do not bring your pets. Item number 4. The township should be made aware of any bedfast or ambulatory cases as soon as possible. Number 5. Carpooling is suggested. Help your neighbor. If you know of a neighbor, friend, or family who needs assistance, check with them now and make plans ahead. If you need transportation, call the above command numbers. We will make every effort to provide transportation, but we cannot guarantee transportation will be provided. This notice comes to you through the efforts of your Fairview Township government representative. We hope, with God's help, that this action will not be necessary.
Meanwhile, Pennsylvania Governor Thornburg warned against alarmist actions.
This evening, we all have learned
learned that President Carter will be paying a visit to the area to make a personal on-site visit. And I think this is an important vote of confidence in the kind of work that is proceeding there, and a further refutation of the kind of alarmist reaction that is set in some quarters.
At the present time, all those who are involved here who are highly qualified tell me that the reactor core is indeed stable. However, within the next few days, important decisions will be made on how to bring the reactor down to a cold and stable state. I would like to say to the people who live around the Three Mile Island plant that if it does become necessary, your governor, Governor Thornburgh, will ask you and others in this area to take appropriate action to ensure your safety. If he does, I want to urge that these instructions be carried out calmly and exactly as they have been in the past few days.
Trying to capitalize on Carter's spirit-raising trip, Governor Thornburgh promptly announced a further normalization in the state capital. State offices, he said, would reopen on Monday. Some 23 schools near the Three Mile Island reactor would also be permitted to open, even though they were to remain closed for several days more. However, the calming trend in Pennsylvania was not being felt elsewhere. On the West Coast, Carter rival Jerry Brown made his own media splash.
I ask that the Rancho Seco facility be temporarily shut down as a precautionary measure until the Nuclear Regulatory Commission can assure us and the people of California that the plant is safe and does not suffer from a serious generic defect.
And around the world, anti-nuclear demonstrators responded to Harrisburg. More than 35,000 people marched in West Germany. Seven nuclear reactors were closed in Japan. Saboteurs blew up reactor parts in France. And nuclear plants in the U.S. were temporarily or permanently shut down or halted in New Jersey, New York, California, and Ohio. And in San Francisco, some 25,000 people gathered for the largest anti-nuclear demonstration ever in the United States.
They're in it, all kinds of alternatives to nuclear, but they are not all under the subject of monopoly corporate power.
Ralph Nader.
That then is the crux of the issue, is it not? It's either energy that we control or energy that Exxon controls.
By Monday, April 2nd, the situation seemed to be improving at the Three Mile Island plant. However, it was still another week before Governor Thornburgh declared the crisis at an end, telling pregnant women and families with small children they could return safely to their homes within 5 miles of Three Mile Island. Radiation expert Ernest Sternglass immediately branded that decision dangerous and irresponsible.
Governor Thornburgh has been misled again by the same people who persist in the cover-up, who are trying to save what can be saved of the nuclear industry around the world by telling him only about the external gamma radiation readings, which of course are now maybe 30 to 50 times less than they were at the height of the releases from the nuclear plant. But there are still constant small seepages and releases of radioactive iodine, fission products, cesium and strontium. And for people living within a few hundred yards, and that is still going on there, the inhalation dose may be 50 to 100 times greater if everything that we have learned from past experience holds in this case.
In Middletown, just across the river from Three Mile Island, kids continued to play basketball while their parents listened to President Carter's speech during his visit.
The radiation levels are being very carefully monitored throughout the area, and any trend toward higher levels would immediately be reported to me and to Governor Thornburg and others, and every effort will be made to keep those radiation levels down to the present state, which is quite safe for all concerned.
What they did not hear from the president, from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, from the nuclear industry, or from the press was a dissident view, represented for many years by one of the leading medical physicists and radiation experts in the country, Dr. John Goffman.
President Carter should be thoroughly ashamed of himself for what he just said from Harrisburg. That is an absolute untruth. And I think President Carter knows that that is not true. The fact is, there has never been one iota of evidence of scientific character or any other character that suggests any safe amount of radiation.
With nuclear power, as with the tobacco industry, as with worker safety and health, the burden of proof is on the victim.
You've been listening to the award-winning documentary Accidents Will Happen, produced by Alan Snitow and Eileen Alfandary in 1979, just a month after the disaster at Three Mile Island. Unfortunately, we don't have time to play the entire program, but you can contact the Pacifica Radio Archives to request the program in its entirety. From the Vault is a weekly program produced by the Pacifica Radio Archives and presented as part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project, which is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts and grants from the Grammy Foundation, the Ford Foundation, University of California Berkeley's Moffitt Library, the Pacifica Foundation, and from contributions from Pacifica station listeners. From the Vault, the series, is produced, written, and edited by Christopher Sprinkle. Senior producer is Mark Torres, production coordinator Edgar Toledo, outreach by Sean Dulles, accounting by Mariana Berkovich, and customer service by Arlene Chang. Special thanks to our volunteers Joseph Falasca, Alan Carmen, Karen Anonia, and Ray Baraka. Our theme music is by Kevin Drum Holiday. For more information on him, his music, and other music used within the program, please visit FromTheVaultRadio.org. This program was executive produced by the Pacifica Radio Archives and myself, Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening.
Pushing through the market square, so many mothers sighing. News had just come over, we had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet, then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies, song, boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store, everything in there.